This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. And just for this week, I'm handing the hosting duties over to my WNYC colleague, Matt Katz. He covers public safety for our local newsroom and has multiple awards to his name. For instance, he won a Peabody for his investigation of Governor Chris Christie's involvement in the scandal known as Bridgegate. So, you know, he's no slouch. What I'm saying is you're in safe hands, listeners. I'll see you all next week. Take it away, Matt.
Thank you, Brooke. This week, Netflix announced that it's bringing back Servant of the People to its streaming service. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky plays a history teacher whose rant about corruption in the government goes viral and propels him to the presidency. Like in the real world, Zelensky's character looks eagerly to his European neighbors to the west. When then-German Chancellor Angela Merkel calls Zelensky's character to tell him Ukraine has been admitted into the European Union, he soon learns the truth. She actually meant to call Montenegro. The foes in the show ring true, too. A vulgar joke he makes about Putin got the series canceled in Russia. In the last few weeks, the fictional history teacher turned president has become a real president turned history teacher. In a virtual visit to the British House of Commons, Zelensky quoted Shakespeare and Churchill. In Germany, he reminded the parliament of the vow to never again let a dictator exterminate a people and about Germany's own invasion of Ukraine in World War II. And in army fatigues on a large screen before Congress, Zelensky asked American lawmakers to remember.
Remember September the 11th, a terrible day in 2001 when evil tried to turn your cities, independent territories, in battlefields, when innocent people were attacked.
While Zelensky used history in his campaign to recruit help from the West, the Russian disinformation machine was busy with its own campaign to spread conspiracy and division. The focus? Biolabs, or more specifically, the United States developing or helping develop biological weapons in laboratories across Ukraine. Ben Collins is a senior reporter for NBC News covering disinformation, extremism, and the internet, and he says while this may sound like a far-fetched plot, it's really a digital age revival.
It's not that new in the grand scope of Russian propaganda history to accuse adversaries of having biological weapons and then using them yourself. Mm-hmm. They did this in Syria several years ago. In Aleppo, they tried to claim that, you know, the Syrians somehow gassed themselves or faked a chemical weapons attack when they were the perpetrators themselves. And they also did this with a spy poisoning.
British police now believe that former Russian spy Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia were poisoned with a nerve agent.
The government had said it was Novichok, a poison developed in the Soviet era, and that the Russian state must have been behind the attack.
They claimed that it's actually the U.S. making Novichok, maybe in Ukraine. And that spy, that's how he got poisoned, was with American Novichok. But of course, that makes no sense. It was later identified as FSB agents who pulled off that attack. So this is a Russian propaganda operation that has done this consistently.
What are they alleging? What are biolabs? It sounds like something out of a Marvel movie.
They are research facilities that don't study things like bioweapons or the coronavirus or whatever. But that's what is being pushed by the Russian government now. You'll see talk by the Russian government that they are making specific coronaviruses in these labs to target ethnic Russians, but not Ukrainians. And it's being flown over the border by birds who are taking the coronavirus, bypassing the Ukrainians, bypassing Europeans, and infecting Russians.
This is a Russian-style conspiracy theory, I guess. But that's not exactly the origin of it at this moment, right?
That's exactly right. I think a really important history here is to go back to just a few weeks ago, before the war, and see what Vladimir Putin was talking about, see what the Russian government was talking about as their pretext for the war. They were not talking about Ukrainian biolabs. That did not come up. What did come up was denazification, the idea that the Ukrainian government was run by Nazis, actual Nazis, and that they needed to go in there and get rid of them and then install a separate government that is more aligned with Vladimir Putin. And what you can see is this not landing with the global far right, this denazification idea. You saw for weeks traditional allies in the propaganda spaces, China or India, Pakistan even, weirdly enough, uncommon allies, but allies against the West in propaganda. They did not buy in on this denazification thing. Didn't make any sense to them. And in fact, the American far right didn't buy in either. The American far right was like, what are you guys talking about? Like, denazification? What? The characters that you guys are bringing up now are new to us, and we need some comfort food. And the comfort food to them is Anthony Fauci or Joe Biden or something like that. So on the day of the invasion, you can see this. We worked with this company called Pira. The CEO, Welton Chang, did this data. And you can see that there are like single-digit posts about biolabs on the top 15 far-right American social networks in the days before the invasion. And then on the day of the invasion, there's hundreds. And then after that, thousands. And you can see that they are trying to find a reason why Vladimir Putin is not the bad guy. Because they've been told for years he's not the bad guy. He's sort of like Donald Trump. He's smart. He's savvy. He's tough.
When they went into Ukraine and they found these labs, they believe that the deep state is possibly going to use a bioweapon on Russian people. Because they've been just like they were collecting our DNA in China. They've been collecting their DNA as well.
This pretext was invented. The first one just didn't work. You know, you can see it with the Chinese government and the way they responded. At first, they were scrounging around for weeks there, saying like, this doesn't really make sense. And they were more abstaining than they were joining in with the Russians on this propaganda campaign. But now, because, you know, they were implicated in previous American propaganda about how they funded these biolabs, how they funded coronavirus research in Wuhan, right? It's a way for them to get back at the United States. So their foreign ministry asked for a full accounting of biolabs throughout the world, right in line with when Russia started doubling down on this stuff too. This is working through Russian propaganda now. You can see in the month before on TASS, which is like Russia's AP, it's their news agency, there was no talk of biolabs at all in Ukraine. But on Thursday and Friday of last week, there were 24 stories, independent stories about biolabs in Ukraine.
Ben, like any great conspiracy theory, there's like a kernel of truth. And there are biological laboratories in Ukraine, and U.S. is involved in them through something called the U.S. Cooperative Threat Reduction Program, right?
Yeah, it was a way to manage and pare down Soviet-era biological research facilities with the help of various different countries, not just the United States, in the West, as a way to make it safer so there's no biological equivalent of a Chernobyl, right? That's the kernel of truth there. And that's what really made this take off maybe a week or two afterwards, where Marco Rubio brought up this conspiracy theory. Because in Marco Rubio's world, the further right parts of his constituencies were already reading these posts on Facebook and Twitter and Gab. Rubio brought up this conspiracy theory in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And he was just saying, like,
does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons?
What are the deal with these biolabs that keep coming up in social media? This is Russian propaganda, right? And then there was this very inelegant answer from Victoria Nuland, the Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, who said,
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian troops, Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of. So we are working with the Ukrainians on how they can.
She didn't say that, you know, they weren't making bioweapons, because I'm assuming she had no idea that this was in the separate reality that is the QAnon and anti-vax worlds, that this is the only thing they're talking about. So she accidentally lent credence to this conspiracy theory. I'm sure Marco Rubio did not want to give the soundbite to Russian propaganda, but this is what they've been leaning on ever since.
Victoria Nuland just confirmed that the Russian disinformation they've been telling us for days is a lie and a conspiracy theory and crazy and immoral to believe is in fact totally and completely true. And a dozen questions instantly jumped to mind.
Tucker and Glenn Greenwald, all those people, they are using this testimony as really their only shred of what they deem to be proof, when really it's just an ambiguous answer to a question that is pretty dynamic and pretty complicated.
David Korn, Washington bureau chief at Mother Jones, reported that there's a copy of a memo that they received from the Kremlin to media organizations in Russia that essentially instructed them to report on the, quote, activities of military biological laboratories with American participation in Ukraine. And it said the U.S. is attempting, quote, biogenocide of the population there. They also threw in some coronavirus allegations for good measure. And then the memo allegedly instructed Russian media to use as many clips of Fox News host Tucker Carlson as they could.
You got to remember, Tucker is not just an American idea now. Tucker is not just an American star. He is a star of the global far right. He's been a star of global white nationalism for many, many years. People on 4chan and Gab have always looked up to him. You know, they view him as the guy who sort of sets the tone for their talking points, as an ally who won't let them down. And that's why it works so well. He knows exactly how to speak to the Western far right. And it works across country lines at this point. You know, Tucker does that, you know, just asking the question, yeah, sort of rhetorical trick thing that he does with his tone.
Outraged and curious at the same time, yes.
The upward tilt at the end of each sentence. Russian propaganda has this guy who effectively, like, imitates Tucker in Russian.
There's a guy who dubs over Tucker on Russian TV.
Yeah, he literally dubs over Tucker in the same cadence.
Новые пункты. По словам представителя Белого дома, ожидается, что русские вот-вот начнут наступление. Они уже давно говорят так, но сейчас это звучит немного по-другому.
They found the guy who is a pretty good Russian composite character for Tucker at Audibly. So they have a gift from the American far right. The American far right knows how to do this. They are very good at storytelling. It's world building. That's what it is, really. And Tucker is really good at synthesizing that for an audience that is just glued to the TV all day instead of the ones that are glued to extremist social networks.
So that means a piece of disinformation inspired by Soviet Russian disinformation was reborn in American far-right media, where it was then amplified by China and echoed by Tucker Carlson, who was then used by Russian state media to amplify the same conspiracy. I mean, my mind is melting here.
Look, man, it's like pro wrestling. You got to remember, like, the previous feud, right?
Yeah.
You got to remember that for years, the American administration, which to them is one big thing here, called it the China virus and alleged over and over again that this was maybe a bioweapon created by the Chinese. And then, you know, China had to flip that around and be like, maybe it was a bioweapon created by the Americans funding something in Wuhan and all this stuff. So you have to go back to two seasons ago and remember all of this stuff that was going on, all of this propaganda that was going on.
It's clear that certain elements of the far right are looking for conspiracies to make Ukraine look bad, maybe to justify years of footsie with Putin in Russia, yes, to delegitimize Biden. And then maybe due to a natural affinity for the authoritarian and what they describe as the white power structure in Russia. So can we expect more of this conspiratorial commingling between the American right and Russia?
Yes. Get rid of borders in your head. Get rid of the idea that there are political borders that define the far right. The American far right and the French far right and the Canadian far right, in some cases Russian far right and the Australian far right, they are working under the same premise. There is a new world order. They are trying to bring you down. It's Joe Biden. It's Angela Merkel. It's people who haven't been elected. It's Anthony Fauci.
Soros.
George Soros. Yes, it's George Soros. In some cases, it's Tom Hanks, if you're a QAnon guy, right? It's all of these people who have power that you don't have. Once you view it that way, once you view it through their lens, you can start thinking like them. And you can start seeing where these conspiracy theories go. These things will just evolve. They will pick up new talking points. They will adapt themselves into every world event. That's what QAnon is, by the way. QAnon is an explanation for every single world event. It's all the same bad guys doing the same stuff. It was weird to me Russia didn't do this the first time around before they invaded, because this talking point makes sense within that. The idea that there are Nazis we need to get rid of in Ukraine, that seems like a 15, 20-year-old Soviet propaganda campaign. This is the real deal. This is the new stuff that works with everybody across the world that will get you wide-scale buy-in.
You've been doing this for a while. How exasperated do you feel on a daily basis? Do you feel like you're fighting this war against mistruths that you're losing.
I think we were losing worse until recently. I think most people are starting to see what this is, that you can't just go up to a guy who believes that Anthony Fauci eats kids and just be like, hey, what are your thoughts on this thing? That they have rigged the game by taking advantage of the traditional media infrastructure in the way that things used to work. You know, there's been a massive shift in how this stuff is covered throughout the industry, and it's been largely for the better. And I've seen it with people in my life. Eventually, people do get hit in the face with reality here. But there's the fact that it's coming to this, that there's this much death and destruction. In the meantime, it is very, very disheartening.
So you think that maybe disinformation and misinformation, which previously could have just been dismissed as, you know, opinion journalism or harmless conspiracy theories, is now being viewed more as a matter of life and death?
Yeah, it's meteorology, man. If you can see the patterns, if you can look at the data and see how this stuff moves, like at the very basis of that story that I wrote this week, nobody was talking about biolabs. Then they invaded, and then everybody was talking about biolabs. And you can trace it back to the one Twitter thread that did it, which was a QAnon account. That's science. That's not a thought that I had. That's a bunch of data, and it's irrefutable. So it's okay that for years that, you know, this sort of work was laughed off or viewed as political beltway kind of journalism, whatever. But I knew it wasn't. I know the kind of researchers I was talking to. I know that they were the smartest people that I've ever met. And I know that their commitment to this work was made for this moment. They knew they were studying effectively wartime propaganda. And just because a couple of idiots on Twitter said it wasn't a big deal, that's just like disinformation itself. It doesn't matter what some people think about your profession when you can see for a fact what is actually going on.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I really appreciate the time.
Ben Collins is a senior reporter for NBC News. You can find his article, Russian Propaganda on Ukraine's Non-Existent Biolabs, Boosted by U.S. Far Right. It's at NBCNews.com. Coming up, what does it take to identify a war crime in real time? This is On the Media.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.